Can we return now to Proverbs and chapter 26? I'm sure that you all have your favourite proverb in there. I like the picture of the door turning on its hinges and the sluggard turning in his bed. But we're not going to speak about that one tonight. Let's turn to verse 22. Proverbs 26, verse 22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. We had two very dear friends for dinner earlier this week, my colleague in Dunvegan, Reverend David Miller, and his wife Meg. Meg, as you probably know, is a sister of the late Reverend Ian D. Campbell, who died in tragic circumstances back in January. And Meg has been over in Lewis most of the time since then, and she was talking about the whole experience very freely with us. One thing that she said, which I can certainly share, was just that she felt really disappointed that things that were circulating as rumours were being given credence and were being passed round and disseminated further and further, not just in the tabloid press, but even in the church, in not only Lewis, but beyond. Rumours being taken as fact. Gossip. Gossip. Now, we've all been hurt by gossip here. And we all know people in our community we think of as being terrible gossips. Try not to think of them as I say that, okay? But actually, could we be the people who hurt others? Could we be the ones who are doing the gossiping? Is it actually possible that all of us can gossip much more readily than we realise? Let's think about this subject tonight. Let's think about gossip. It's not the wonderful, exalted subject we were thinking about this morning, the ascension of Jesus. But the Bible is a very practical book, and it does say a lot about the subject of gossip. The Proverbs are full of references to gossip and slander and misuse of the lips and deceits and lying and malice and all sorts. Gossip. What's gossip? What is it? And again, it's easy to think gossip is something that other people do. Gossip is the stories that other people tell. And it's easy to think that we ourselves are not gossips. But gossip is, verse 22, words. It's words. They may be spoken, and that's what we tend to think of as gossip, but they may also be written. And today, in a way that has never been the case before, it's possible to gossip in the written word using social media as it is to gossip with the spoken word, face to face or over the telephone. Words. Words that may be sensational, they may be scandalous, and they may be malicious. Words that are told to shock. Words that damage people's character as we speak about them. Words that may have no root in fact. They may be totally unsubstantiated. Words that may break a confidence, may actually let down someone who has shared something privately with us. Proverbs 11 verse 13. A gossip betrays a confidence. A trustworthy man keeps a secret. We all can recognise gossip when it's coming. Someone will go into conspiratorial tones with us and they'll say to us, I'm going to tell you something just now about them. If I tell you, I promise you won't tell anyone else. You heard that? or I shouldn't be telling you this, but this is what I've just heard. I heard something about him. Did you hear it? You won't believe what she did. Gossip. We've heard it. Have we done it? You know, as I was thinking about this subject yesterday and studying and preparing for this, I realised that gossip actually is something much more serious than perhaps we tend to think it is. Because gossip can do terrible damage. What effect can gossip have? Well, verse 20 tells us that without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. So, the absence of gossip means that disputes and quarrels, fallings out, tend to gradually fade away. With gossip, then, there's going to be trouble. Gossip damages communities. Gossip damages our community. A perverse man, says Proverbs 16 and verse 28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. That's the damage it does. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers over an offence promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Gossip is bad. Gossip damages friendships and relationships. In fact, gossip is a sign that a community is divided. Wherever communities are divided, you'll find that there's gossip there doing the dividing. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20 that he's coming to visit them and he's worried. He says, I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. I fear there may be quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance and disorder. So the list there is of what he thinks might be true in the church, and there's division. And in the middle of that division, there's gossip. There's people telling on other people. There's people breaking confidences. There's people sharing things at the expense of other people. There's people damaging other people's characters verbally. Gossip damages our community. Gossip damages this lovely community we have in Lahalsh. And there are people in our community who get damaged by it because they need help. They're struggling. And they're struggling with things that really are very, very private and personal. And they need to talk. They're needing to talk today. They're needing to talk to others and get things out. But they're afraid to talk. And they're afraid to talk because they can't think of anyone that they can really trust, whom they can tell, who they know won't perhaps break their confidence. People need to be able to share, but they won't share if they think that what they share will leak into the community and become matter for gossip. Gossip's really damaging. Let me tell you a wee story. This story is partly based on something that I observed recently. One evening, a married man was visiting the home of a woman in the community. His car was outside her house. Married man visiting a woman in the community. His car was outside her house, and it was seen by someone who was passing by. This person surmised more than could rightly be surmised from the presence of the car, thought perhaps it was later on in the evening and maybe this man was actually spending the night at the house. And he chose to share his surmise with a couple of select people. Unfortunately, one of those people with whom he shared took it as truth, his surmise, and got into his head that the man parked outside the house was having an affair with the woman whose house it was. And he took it upon himself to share this concern he had about this affair with the woman's brother. The woman's brother then, thinking his sister was having an affair, confronted his sister. His sister was very unhappy about being confronted about this and about being called a loose woman, because there was absolutely nothing going on whatsoever between her and the married man who happened to be calling. She miscalled her brother for listening to gossip. And the brother was somewhat chastened, upset and angry about the situation. And he went back to the person who told him about the so-called affair and had words with him. And that wasn't handled well, and a significant cooling of relationships took place between these two people. And then the man who had been told by the man who'd seen the car went and spoke to the man who'd seen the car, and their relationship took on a significant downturn as well. And of course, by the time all this has happened, the story was doing the rounds in the community, and it got back to the married man's wife. She's a suspicious sort of person anyway, so her poor husband faced a rather unpleasant cross-examination, which put paid to his plans for a romantic dinner with his wife the following night. His wife forbade him to call on the woman concerned again, not quite bringing herself to believe the pleas of her husband that nothing was going on whatsoever. In fact, he had simply been calling as he'd been passing, remembering a conversation he'd had with the woman earlier on that day by chance in the village shop, in which she had offered to make a donation to the charity sale that he was organising. So an innocent situation becomes a cause of a great deal of hurt and a lot of sin in the community because of gossip. As the proverb says, a gossip separates close friends. So if it can do so much damage, why do we like it so much? Back to verse 22 there. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Choice morsels. Gossip. Yum yum. Tasty morsels of gossip. Why do we like it so much? Well, we do like a good story, don't we? We're not even all that concerned if the story's true or 100% true or 100% accurate. We won't like to let the truth get in the way of a good story. And gossip, well, we may not just check it too much, because then that would spoil it, because we'd find out it probably isn't really true. It makes a good story. And not only that, because it's a story about someone's misdemeanors usually, it's not about good things. People don't gossip about great things that are happening in our community. They gossip about bad things. And because gossip is about someone doing something wrong, when we deal in gossip, we feel morally superior. We're able to go, that's terrible, isn't it? That's bad what they're doing. And we feel morally superior. So it makes us feel good. Good story, moral superiority, and power as well. If you gossip, you've got power. You've got power over the person you're gossiping about, because you're actually in charge of what the community thinks about them. And you've got power as well. If you've got the morsel of gossip and other people don't have it, you've got power to disclose that gossip where you choose. And there's pleasure for you in doing that. Being the person that says, have you heard? And you jolly well know they haven't heard. And you're going to be the one that's going to tell them. And they're going to go, ooh, ah. And you're going to feel, I got one over on you there because I heard it first. Oh. It's horrible. But we love it. We love it. It's a guilty pleasure. why is it guilty though? Why is it sin? Well, actually, it's sin for lots of reasons. In the scripture, we're told many times in Old and New Testament by Moses and by Jesus, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter will be established. Gossip doesn't bother with that. All we need for gossip is one person to tell us, and we'll pass it on as though it was true. One person, that's not two or three witnesses. We've sinned by not listening to what God's word tells us. For a start, we're just taking one witness. God's word tells us, do not judge. Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, when you gossip, you judge. When you gossip, you judge someone on the basis of the gossip. You judge the gossip to be true. You accept it. And you pass judgment on the person for the wrong thing they've done that the gossip's about. That's not good. You've judged, and often we add to the story. We add things like speculating on people's motives. We have absolutely no idea either that the thing happened or what their motives were in the thing happening. We are judging. We're sinning that way too. Another way gossip is sin is that it breaks friendships. Proverbs 16:28 again. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Gossip damages our community, damages families, it damages relationships between people. Often when we gossip, we step over a line and what we're saying has become slander. That's another sin as well. Leviticus 19:16. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. If it's slander, we're really sinning against other people as well as against God. Sometimes gossip goes even further and becomes deliberately malicious. We are actually wanting to do damage. And that's when it's really serious. In the little letter of 3 John, verse 10 of that letter, John tells us about a man called Diotrephes. Diotrephes happens to be in the church. He's calling himself a Christian. But John says he loves to be first. Yeah, he loves to be first. He'll have nothing to do with us apostles, he says. So if I come, says John, to visit you, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Diotrephes is trying to win the church for himself by slandering the apostles. Deliberately, maliciously gossiping. Now that is seriously evil. Gossip, of course, it can involve salacious detail. It can involve us in lust or other unrighteous desires. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels, the proverb says. We actually take pleasure and enjoyment in the detail and in thinking about the detail and in what's involved, maybe using our imaginations in an inappropriate way. Paul says this, he says, put to death. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. It's Colossians 3 verse 5 and 6. Put to death your earthly nature. You know, gossip brings our earthly nature alive. It brings our lust alive. And because of that, the wrath of God is coming. Gossip's a serious thing. It's bringing the wrath of God closer to us. Here's another reason why gossip's bad. If you're a Christian or known as a Christian or connected with the church, gossip will damage your witness. It will nullify your witness. If people think of you as a gossip, if people think that you are someone who likes to gossip, then they won't respect you. And they won't respect your words. So when you maybe try to tell them about Jesus, they won't respect what you say about our Lord because you're a gossip. So gossip is really a troublesome and problematic thing. It's not something we want. We really want to be clean of this thing. And gossip, finally then, the wrath of God is coming, says Paul. It brings condemnation on us. And not only that, if people reject Jesus because we gossip, it brings condemnation on them too. Gossip is bad. It's not just a thing to laugh about. So what should we do? What should we do about it? Well, here's a few things. First of all, let's try not to hear it in the first place. Sometimes people will say to you something and you'll know gossip's coming. You know, they'll start saying, "Hi, do you want to hear what I've just heard?" And you know gossip is on its way, and somehow try and stop them. Just say, "Well, you know, is it a good thing you're going to tell me? Do I really want to hear it?" Try and change the subject quickly. Just try not to hear it in the first place. It's great if you're the last person who hears a bit of gossip. Like, I mean, the whole community knows this bit of gossip isn't true, but you've managed not to hear it. Because then you're the person who's free of that burden of sin that gossip is. Try not to hear it in the first place. If you do hear it, then be critical. Like, ask yourself, well, what am I hearing here? Is it gossip? And if it is, it stops with you. Don't pass it on. If there's any doubt about it, if it damages someone's reputation, if it doesn't build people up when you tell them about it, just don't pass it on. Just let it stop and die with you. Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let's speak to build up people, not to drag them down. Of course, James says a lot about the tongue, doesn't he? He says, watch your tongue. Watch how you use it. The tongue, he says, is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Strong language from James. The tongue is a world of evil. So what does James say? James 1:26, he says, if anyone considers himself righteous and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So if we gossip, we have every reason to question if we're even Christians. If we gossip, we've every reason to come before the Lord in deep repentance and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I passed that on. I'm sorry for the way I spoke about that person. I'm sorry for the way I believed that unsubstantiated rubbish. Please forgive me. In the newsletter, you saw the moderator's pastoral letter to the church about the death of my colleague, Reverend Ian D. Campbell, and concerning all the rumours that are going about. Let me just quote him a little in what he said. He said of the family and indeed of the church in Lewis, they have been faced not only with a shocking bereavement, but also with many rumours, says John, rumours meaning gossip in the community and the media. So what he says is, I would also ask you to pray for our brothers in Christ, the ministers and elders of the Western Isles Presbytery and the local Kirk Sessions in Lewis, to whom it falls to exercise Christian pastoral care and oversight in the midst of these events. He says, pray that they may have the help and presence of the Spirit of Jesus to follow the teachings of Jesus. In other words, not to gossip and not to believe gossip, to follow the teachings of Jesus in regard to what has happened. And he says, may we pray, all pray sorrowfully and humbly, taking heed to our own weaknesses and sinfulness. Again, our own tendency to gossip among these things. and asking the Lord to use even these painful events to build his church in Lewis and elsewhere. And it's not like we lack good things to talk about. Let's just finish thinking about the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman, well, she was the gossip of her village. I don't mean she did the gossiping, I mean she was the subject of the gossip. Jesus says, you've had 5 husbands and the man you have now is not your husband. Well, there was plenty in her life for the village that she came from in Samaria to gossip about. And she's an isolated woman because of that. You see the damage it's done to this woman when she comes out to fill her water jar in the heat of the day. No one else does that. But she's there at the well, isolated from the other woman, isolated from the community, because of all the gossip that does the rounds in the village. And then she meets Jesus. Jesus gives her something wonderful to talk about, and gives her something wonderful to inject into the village, the gossiping little village in Samaria. She says to them, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? That's not gossip, that's gospel. And we read, this is John 4:39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Now that was good. A village of gossips became a village of gospel. And that's the effect the church should have in our community here. The church should substitute gospel in the place of gossip. We don't peddle gossip in our community. We live and we preach gospel, not gossip. Gossip is something we hate. Gossip is something that is deeply sinful, deeply damaging in our community. It divides friends, separates friends, as the proverb says. We don't want gossip. We don't need gossip. We've got plenty of good stuff to speak about. We've got gospel. We can go back to our village like the Samaritan woman tomorrow morning and say, come and see a man. We can tell the people of our village about Jesus. We can elevate the conversation. We can bring the conversation to good things. Like we sang at the very beginning of the service, those wonderful words, good and pleasant and comely. We've got things that are good and pleasant and comely to say. We want to build up, and we can. We've got plenty of material to use that can make our conversation beneficial, seasoned with salt, wholesome, upbuilding, encouraging, fruitful and pleasant to listen to, that doesn't damage character, that doesn't assassinate character, but that builds up character and that helps people. So let's be people here who are gospel people in this village and in the other villages where we live, where the gossip is doing the rounds. Let's set the gossip aside, because we don't want it, and let us speak the gospel instead. May God help us to do that for the benefit of our community.